This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
I'm going to share with you a bit of a personal story. So my mother, she had a couple of strokes recently and spent quite a bit of time in hospital. And as a result of the stroke, she's now been diagnosed with dementia. And I'm already noticing slight changes in her memory and her cognition. And last week, while I was visiting her at one of the rehabilitation hospitals here in Melbourne, I thought there's a lot of support available. Mind you, it's an absolute nightmare to organise and get started with my aged care. But eventually, you do get there. But as you know, with stroke, it is time critical. So it's all very process driven and it's a bit one size fits all. So it got me worried about what happens when an older LGBTIQ+ person gets dementia. What happens if I get it? Well, director and founder of Celebrate Aging, Dr. Catherine Barrett, will know. Catherine, welcome back to Drive.
Hello. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Before we talk about dementia, I love the title of the organisation, Celebrate Aging. It's so beautiful. Tell us about it.
Oh, so we're a charity. We've been running for over a decade, and really it's raising awareness that ageing is a privilege. Not everybody I know made it as old as I have, and, you know, we really need to understand it is a privilege. And we've not done a lot of work understanding ageism in queer communities, and we are ageist, and the research tells us that it can reduce your life expectancy by up to 7.5 years.
Wow, that's significant.
If you internalise the view that you're less because of the age you are. So that's the kind of stuff Celebrate Ageing, the charity I set up, is looking to combat.
So just by thinking, oh, you know, I'm not worthy as an older person, that's potentially could cost you 7.5 years of life.
Well, it's then how that extends. Mm. So it's, you know, I'm not worthy and I had a stroke. Mm. Well, what do you expect at my age? What can I do? Oh. You know? And so it's that sort of the expectations of aging reduce. And so people's health seeking behavior or their willingness to be the best possible version of themselves as they age, reduces.
I loved the ABC show. I don't know if you saw it, Old People's Home for Teenagers, and it seemed that the teenagers enjoyed and benefited from the interaction, as did the older people. Do you reckon we've stereotyped older people and we're missing out on a great resource, a wealth of information and experience?
Look, absolutely we are. We are. We hosted some intergenerational workshops before Christmas called Gen K Queer Christmas. And it was the most beautiful thing, bringing older and younger people of all ages together for these workshops that were making hope cards for people doing it tough at Christmas.
Right.
And what people said in those workshops were things like, you know, I don't get, there aren't many spaces to hang around with people from different age groups. And a relatively young person said, well, I actually, because I'm over the age of 25, I really feel closeted by my age because there's really nothing for me. You know, after the age of 25, there's really
25.
Not a lot happening for us. And it's a shame because we learn so much from each other. And it's really lovely to hang out with people of different age groups.
I feel like, you know, as a gay man, I can only speak for gay men and generally, but I feel like we're not good with age as well. I feel like there's almost an expectation that you pass to use by date, unless you're sort of a super hot fit daddy or something like that, you get discarded. I think we're terrible at it.
Yeah, look, there's some, you know, there's a pretty decent body of research on the experiences for gay men as they age, that ageism is pretty pretty entrenched. And somebody said to me, you know, in this Gen K Queer project, that sometimes in queer community, beauty is worn as an armour, you know, that we are perfect and we feel that we are less perfect as we age, but that's not the case. And all the ageing gay men I know are just gorgeous. You know, we've got to embrace that because it actually does not serve us to fight our ageing.
Definitely. Let's talk about dementia. It doesn't run in my family. I never expected it to appear so suddenly, and it's, of course, my mother's been diagnosed with it. I don't know any LGBTIQ plus people who have it, but I understand our risk factors are a little bit different to the broader community. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I'm not aware of the specific research on risks for queer community, but the risks for dementia increase with things like smoking and alcohol use. And we know in queer community, we've got higher rates of smoking and alcohol use. And also too, I guess generally the sense of not looking after ourselves, being overweight or obese or not being active or being socially isolated or depressed. All those factors can contribute to dementia. And so it stands that I think that queer community will have higher rates of dementia. But that's something that we can do something about, you know, by being the best possible healthy version of ourselves. It's something that we can reduce those risk factors.
We spend so much time, I suppose, being comfortable with ourselves, you know, fighting what we're told, what we're taught just by society or by even our family in some cases. And the prospect of developing dementia, I suppose, can be quite daunting and scary in itself. But I feel like, as part of the LGBTIQ plus community, that we're, you know, even we know how people can potentially treat us. Does that add to our fear of getting older and developing dementia? Is there any research on that?
Yeah, well, it does. And in fact, I've been, sort of slightly different research, I guess, that I've been involved in, which has looked at the experiences of queer community and dementia. And the dementia was, you know, the dementia was a real challenge for people. But I think what was particularly pressing was that, and this was across the board for LGBTIQ plus people, but particularly for trans and gender diverse people. You know, there is that myth that, you know, trans and gender diverse people, every trans and gender diverse person will lose their gender identity and revert to, you know, gender assigned at birth. Not true. What is true? That does happen with some people, but what is true, what is much truer and a much more pressing issue is that for trans and gender diverse folk and for other queer folk is that so much of what we do is about advocating for ourselves and protecting ourselves and asserting our right to express our gender in this way or that way or be in this relationship and this is my partner and this is who I want to have make decisions. So we're advocating for ourselves every day, and for people living with dementia, they lose that capacity to advocate for themselves. And that's when the problems start, because you've got family members who never approved of a same-sex relationship or gender identity stepping up and saying, well, actually, I'm the sibling, I'm the real partner, I'm the real family member. And if you've got health services that are not informed, they'll let a family member take over. And so that's when you get the real problems that we can do something about. Make an enormous difference to people's lives by being queer inclusive dementia services.
So it's sort of like we spend so much time, I suppose, controlling ourselves or our environment, don't we? And putting up whatever we want to put up in terms of a facade, if we want, or our true selves. I suppose, is it that loss of control and being completely vulnerable again to others, like you said, the siblings, etc., that is one of the biggest fears in getting old and developing dementia?
I think that's one of the things. Yes, absolutely. It's that sort of we're regulating, we're checking each day, you know, is this safe, is that safe, you know, and we're asserting our needs and educating the people around us around, well, actually, no, that's my right to make that decision, and I don't want to wear that dress, those pants. That's not my partner. This is my chosen family member. So we're advocating for ourselves every day. And so if we have dementia and we're accessing services that are not queer inclusive and not queer respectful, then we stand to lose, I guess, some of our queerness or our expression of our queerness, because we don't have services on board. So, You know, there are other issues, but that is one in particular that we need to do more to change.
We're chatting with the director and founder of Celebrate Aging, Dr. Catherine Barrett, about a new initiative we're about to talk about to help LGBT plus older adults living with dementia. Now, Catherine, we're really excited because you're launching a new project. It's called Rainbow Care Cards. Tell us about it.
It's a really, really beautiful project, and it was funded by the Equality Branch at DFFH, Victorian Government. And what it was is it was providing older queer people with a bridge between services that are not inclusive because, you know, they think they don't have, they think queerness is something that just happens to young people. They don't understand that older people are queer as well, and so they don't see the need to be queer inclusive. And because they're not queer inclusive, they're not giving older people the message that it's safe to be fully who they are. And so there's this cycle of invisibility that Dr. Jo Harrison talked about, where we've got to create an awareness in services, not just aged care services, but GPs and hospitals and, really, you know, dentists and funeral parlours and across the board. They need to understand that it's not about waiting until you get an older queer person. It's about being inclusive and sending those messages of welcome. And so that was the project that we did, which was cutting that cycle of invisibility. So there were two strategies to sort of gather older queer people's responses to using services and then feed that back to the service anonymously. And so often that was GP, so like talking to an older queer person, documenting their experience of their GP service, and then giving that feedback to the GP anonymously. And, you know, in a number of the stories or the experiences that I documented with older queer people, they weren't out in their services. And so giving the feedback to the service was really important for the service to understand how even the smallest of symbols of inclusivity were greatly valued.
I feel like that's amazing because, you know, if you're not out, you're not going to necessarily go and say, hey, I want to give you this feedback, because you'd be outing yourself in giving the feedback, but you can do it anonymously. You had I was looking at the project today, and there's a really lovely one where it's come, I think it was Ambulance Victoria. Do you want to tell us about that?
So that was an older queer person that I interviewed who became really quite unwell and needed to call an ambulance. And can you imagine at that point you're feeling really frightened? Mm. And this person then thought, well, I'm feeling really sick and now I've got to worry about whether they see me as a queer person and whether I'm going to get chucked out of the ambulance. Mm. And the ambo that came was wearing a rainbow pin. Oh. And this older person said, and immediately my shoulders dropped and my blood pressure improved and my breathing improved. And I thought, I'm safe here. This person's going to be there for me and I don't have to worry about that part. I only have to worry about the fact that I'm really quite unwell. And so we wrote that up and we sent it off to Ambulance Victoria and we got a really lovely email back from the CEO who said, I just really felt the vulnerability of the older queer person and I really get it. And we've given that information to the board and the executive team and across the region so that everybody understands how important inclusivity is. So it was just this really beautiful story where the older person was able to share their story without being identified and felt safe to do that. And that was a really important part of the point because Ambulance Victoria reached out and said, you know, would the older person be willing to speak with us directly? And I spoke to the older person and we said, well, no, because they didn't want to. Mm. But actually there was a really important point in being anonymous, which was I could be anyone. Any one exactly. of your clients or patients could be queer and we don't want you to go, well, this person's queer and we're going to be welcoming and inclusive. It could be anyone.
I feel like I love this and I love that we're using it for older people. I feel like it could almost be rolled out to every sort of health service provider, couldn't it?
I think absolutely, because not everybody is out because, you know, of whatever's happening for them. But also too, there are a lot of services where people don't feel safe to be out. And I think it's a really lovely circuit breaker. And what we created a web page for the project so we could put the Rainbow Care cards up there so that other service providers can go and read about what it was that the older person valued. And yes, it could be, you know, any service could read that and understand what's valued, but it was everything. I think some of the surprises for me was a funeral parlour. I mean, that ought not to have been a surprise. It's like that one point in your life, which is just like, can you please just stop the queerphobic rubbish? But dentists and.
Oh, I know. I've had a terrible experience with a dentist in the past. Shocking.
Yeah, and I think people pay so much for a dentist, they want it to be inclusive. Mm. But, you know, a trans person who said, I've got a wig, this is a really intimate procedure, and I want to know that I'm safe. And so they were actually looking for a new dentist and said, well, I'd rather actually have my teeth rotting in my mouth than go to a dentist where I didn't feel safe.
And that's another aspect to it, isn't it? If we don't give the feedback, I mean, it can potentially have health implications on us as well if we just rather suffer than get it fixed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, rotting teeth is, you know, can lead to, you know, generalised bodily ailments. But I think, you know, we were talking about the risk factors for dementia before. You know, many of those risk factors are about being healthy. Mm. And for us to be healthy, we need to have inclusive services. And for some services, they need to know that inclusivity matters. And then they kind of get it in a different way.
It sounds like this is, the way you're delivering the message with this project has a bigger impact than, say, just ringing up and saying, hey, I just want to say you treated me really well. You know, you're actually in a car. I think it's fantastic. I would encourage everyone to go look at the website and have a look at the Ambulance Victoria one. It certainly touched my heart when I had a look at it today. Catherine, what if there is, if you've got bad feedback, though? We don't want to use the cards for that, do we?
No, but across the country, depending on what service you're accessing, there are all kinds of commissioners, and we've got some of the contact details on the webpage. But, you know, there's a Aged Care Quality and Safety Commission for aged care. There's a Health Complaints Commissioner in Victoria for Health Services and Mental Health Complaints Commissioner. So there's lots of, and most public hospital services have a patient advocate. So there's lots of ways of giving negative feedback. And when things go wrong, people should complain. People should give feedback because there's an important opportunity to learn. But what we wanted to do with this, and this was something that was really important to the older people we spoke to, is they really valued even the smallest effort to be inclusive. And they wanted to give that positive feedback to service providers. And I think sometimes that positive feedback really encourages service providers. Mm. It's not to say don't give negative feedback. Please do. But I think when things work, sometimes we think, oh, well, it just worked and it was fabulous and aren't they great? I think we need to tell them.
I agree.
To reinforce that.
Definitely. A couple of messages come in. Catherine Robbie says, Dr. Catherine Barrett is leading the way with supporting our older queer people, such innovative thinking and programs. And
thanks, Robbie.
Another one here from James saying, I work at Royal Melbourne Hospital and we have signs everywhere saying LGBTQIA+ people are welcome and safe, which is good to hear as well.
Yep, fantastic.
Love the project. It's called the Rainbow Care Cards. Where can we check them out? How do we go about sending one if we need to?
So if you go to celebrateaging.com and then there's a tab there for our, or celebrateaging.com/RainbowCareCards.
Fantastic, Catherine. Great initiative. Thanks for sharing it with us on Drive.
All right. All the best to you.
Thank you. That's Dr. Catherine Barrett, Director and Founder of Celebrate Aging.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.